Monday the 19th of October, Rosh Chodesh Mar Cheshvan, Rabbi Yehuda Levinson, Parshas Noach.
Good morning, before the morning with Zibor. A few words on Parshas Noach, something which is the musik perhaps known, but just to speak it through, I find that to go through ideas and concepts which I've learned before are a chizuk one learns it time and again, so you'll forgive me if there is an element of repetition here. We have a Medrash Rabbah, Parshas Bereishis. The Medrash says, famous Medrash, Im Zocha Odom, if a person is Zoche, if he merits to live a life of good deeds, to perfect himself, to live a constructive life of Ruchnius, what Hashem expects of him in this world, Im Zocha Odom, Aymim Loi Ato Kidam Tolem Alech Yashoris. So we say to him, you came in terms of the pecking order of Briat Olam, you came before even the Malach HaShoritz. Vim Lav, if he was not Zoich, if a person did not have the merit to live a good and constructive life of Ruchnius in this world, Omrim Loi, we say to him, Zavuv Kodmach, the simple fly, came before you in the Maisa Bereishis, Yitush Kodmach, little mosquito, very simple, primitive, so to speak, creatures, very simple creatures, they all came before you, shilshuls there, kodmach, even little worms, little creatures, they all came before you, you've got no chashivus at all. So man's deeds will determine the way in which, so to speak, the way in which he's looked upon and respected at the end of his life, whether in Shemaim they will say to him, you came before even the Malachi HaShoritz in terms of Briyas Olam, or no, you were the last, you came even after all the tiniest, most insignificant and simplest of creatures in the vast plethora of creatures that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into his creation. The Mefarshim say, straightforward, Poshut Pshat in this Medrash is, that the Neshama, the Nefesh, the Ruchnius, the spiritual aspect of man, was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Yom Rishon. There is a Machloikas in the Medrash earlier as to when the Malachi HaShoritz were created, whether it was Yom Sheni or Yom Chamishi. So the Nefesh, the Neshama of man, was created before the Malachi HaShoritz in terms of time. However, the Guf, as we know, the physical dimension of man was created on the last day on Yom Shishi of Maisa Bereishis, and that being the case, in terms of the guf, all the creatures, even the simplest of them, were created before man. So therefore, say the Mefarshim, and this is more or less all the Mefarshim on the Medrash saying the same idea, if a person is zeicha to perfect himself, that means that what shines forth is the neshama, the chelik haruchni, is the person. Right? One sees on the person the chelik haruchni, he acts according to the chelik haruchni, that's how he led his life. Then he's looked upon as neshama, which was created before even the Malach HaShoritz. Im Zocha, Aymim Loi, Malach HaShoritz, Atokidamto, Afilu Le Malach HaShoritz. Im Loi Zocha, if the person did not nourish his neshama, and he was more or less guf, and nothing more than that, perhaps he went to Davin 3 times a day, kept Shabbos, but in principle he was guf, rather than the Shama, then we say to him, okay, that's what you are, this is what you've made of yourself, this is the final product, therefore, Yitush Kodmach, Zavuv Kodmach, Afilu Shilshul Zeh Kodmach, you are a creature which was created on the last day of Briyas Olam. This is the Medrash, and it seems the understanding of this, that the person can reach Madregos in his life, he can be considered as so great that he was created even before the Malach HaShoritz. It's a shvach to a person, it's a praise to a person. He goes to Shemayim and he has there a title that he was created even before the Malach HaShoritz. Or, he's not Zoyche, when he passes on to the next world, he has the title, that badge on him, that even the smallest, simplest of creatures came before him in my celebrations. That would be the simple understanding. But perhaps just to delve a little, I shouldn't say deeper, but another aspect of this, perhaps another way of looking at this, Reb Chaim Volozhiner in the Sefer Nefesh HaChayim, right at the beginning of the Sefer, speaks about something which was mentioned in last week's Sedra in Parshas Bereishis. We are told there, HaKadosh Baruch created man, B'tzelem Elokim Bara Oisai. B'tzelem Elokim. We are created, as we know, in the Tzelem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Reb Chaim Volozhiner, right at the beginning of the Sefer Nefesh HaChayim, Shar Aleph, asks, what is the term tselem, number one, and number two, why davka b'tselem Elohim? Why does the Torah not say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man b'tselem Hashem, b'tselem Keil, various different names for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the Torah tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us b'tselem Elohim. So Reb Chaim Volozhiner explains first of all the term tselem. He says tselem does not mean that one is a copy of something, one is the same as something else. It doesn't mean that. Obviously, nobody, no human being, nothing, no creature, nothing at all could be compared to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to say he is the same as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's not what tselem means. So the Reb Chaim Volozhiner, tselem means a demus, a similarity in one aspect. Some tzad hashoveh, something in common. That is what's meant by the term tselem. If two things have something in common, it presumably has to be quite a major thing in common, a feature in common, they would be considered that one is the tselem of the other. So in a certain sense, we are tselem Elohim, we have something, so to speak, in common with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, something very major. And Reb Chaim Volozhiner continues, and he tells us as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's constructive actions, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, that is when he displayed to us his, so to speak, his constructive abilities. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way of constructing things. Then there is man's constructive abilities, how man constructs and creates things. And Reb Chaim Volozhiner said there are two differences between the way we construct things and the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu constructs things. Number one, he says when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or we'll start with man, when man constructs something, he needs to have the raw materials. Somebody wants to make a table, they have to have the wood. They can't create the wood out of nothing. As well as having the wood, they need to have the tools. You can have all the wood in the world, you can have the nails, the screws, the glue, everything. If you don't have a saw to shape and cut the wood, you don't have a hammer to put the nails into place, a screwdriver and so on, you cannot do it. So man, in order to be constructive, needs to have raw materials at his disposal. Number one. Number two, says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, and the truth is these are connected. Number two, once man has created the item, it is no longer dependent upon him. So as we know, we have a world out there full of antiques. Many people are very interested in antiques. You can come across things which are hundreds of years old. You can find in the museum sometimes things which are 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 years old. Artifacts from Yetzias Mitzrayim. We find that from Egypt in the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Such artifacts can be found in the British Museum and so on. Those artifacts were made by somebody who has long, long since left the world. So these are the two aspects of man's creative and constructive abilities. He needs the raw materials, but once he's created the item is no longer dependent upon him. It could last for hundreds or thousands of years after he has left the world. However, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's precisely the opposite. Number one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Boire Yesh Me'ayin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not need any raw materials. As Rashi says from Chazal, the world was so utterly empty that one would be matam. If a person would have stood there, he would have been amazed and astounded by the emptiness, the vacuum that was there. Toyu vavoyu. Utter emptiness. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu created out of that emptiness a full world with all its beauty and its splendor and all the thousands and billions of activities that go on in the micro and the macro level, all created. Yesh me'ayin. Nothing there. That's number one. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Boirei Yesh Me'ayin, whereas man needs the raw materials. Number two, says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, when an item has been created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it requires a constant supply of Rotzen Hashem in order for it to exist. And these things are obviously connected. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created the raw materials for the item, nothing was there before the Rotzen Hashem, not like when man created his table where the raw materials were there and he just put them together. HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided and created Yesh Me'ayin, the raw materials. Therefore, the item, in order to continue existing, depends upon a constant flow of Rotzen Hashem. So this is the difference between HaKadosh Baruch Hu's constructive and creative activities, so to speak, and man's creative activities. Everything in this world that has been created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs the Rotzen Hashem for it to continue existing. So the table which was formed by man, the actual structure, once it's been created, it does not need its creator anymore, it does not need man. But the wood and the nails and everything else, which are all ultimately Yesh Me'ayin, they need the Rotzen Hashem to continue, that they should continue to exist. So everything in this world is dependent upon a constant supply of Rotzen Hashem. It's a bit similar to any implement, any electrical item which you plug into the wall. You can have an item which is 100% in perfect working order, the best of the top of the range that you can buy, if you don't plug it into a source of power and you have the power of electricity coming through constantly, the item will not work. So in similar fashion, HaKadosh Baruch Hu supplies his world with a constant supply of Rotzon Hashem, and this is Mekayim the Bria. And Reb Chaim Volozhiner says, this is why we say in Tefillah, HaMechadesh B'tuvai B'chol Yoyim Tamid Masei Bereishis. Chazal and Shekneset HaGadol were misaking, they instituted this in our tefillos, that every day we should say, HaMechadish B'tuvoi, through his goodness, he is Mechadish B'chol Yoyim, every day, Tomit, constantly, Masiv Rashis. It's a constant, ongoing feature. And that, of course, although Reb Chaim Volozhiner doesn't mention this, that's why Chazal tell us also from the Pasuk, in Lebris Yoyim V'Laylo, Chukos, that the whole kiyum of the world, which Chaim Volozhiner actually mentions later, but in this context, the kiyum of the world is dependent on Talmud Torah. How can that be? Once it's been created, it's a going concern. It's reality. The answer is there's no such thing as a going concern or reality if Rotzon Hashem is not there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world so that Torah should be learned. If Torah, Chalila, would not be learned throughout the world at any time, so the Rotzon Hashem would be withheld and the world could no longer exist. So we are constantly dependent upon the Rotzon Hashem for the world to exist. Every corner of creation, every blade of grass is, so to speak, under the gaze of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at all times, and is dependent on his rotzon that it should continue to exist. Says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, we know from Chazal, Shulchan Aruch mentions this, the Shem Elohim. What does the name Elohim mean? Hashem is Midas Harachmim, we know Elohim is Midas Hadin, Kael is a combination of Koyach, of power, and Chesed, we know. But Elohim, Chazal tell us, means specifically more than just Midas Hadin. Chazal tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Koyach of all the worlds. The Shem Elohim tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Koyach that keeps the world going constantly. The expression, just slips my mind now, the expression that we use for this, Baal HaKoychos Kulam. We say this, some of us say this before davening in the morning, there's a certain nusach one can say for the Shemas, that the Shemas should be Lishmo. I once came across this nusach, and you say, what I mean by Shema? Yud Kei Vav Kei, Shem Hashem, Shem Elohim, Baal HaKoychos Kulam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is master of all forces that there are in the universe. He's in charge of all of them. He directs the whole orchestra moment by moment. That is what's described to us by the Shem Elohim. That is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're told that aspect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's activity by the Shem Elohim. So therefore, says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by when we describe him as Elohim, is the power that keeps the world going constantly, and we are created B'Tzelem Elohim. The Tzad Hashav, the Dimyon, the common denominator, so to speak, between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that we too have got a power in terms of the running of the world, the directing of the orchestra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave mankind the ability to have play his part and to have his say in the direction in which the world will take. If one's deeds are good, it's not only that one receives reward oneself and one perfects oneself. More than that, those deeds spill over and they can be found to some measure in all parts of the Bria. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to us. This is what we mean when we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Tzelem Elohim. It's an awesome thought. This is something which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. It's his koyach, and he's given it to us, shared it, so to speak, with us. Obviously, he's the ultimate arbiter and the ultimate owner of this koyach, but he gave man the ability in this world to make it a better place by good deeds, or chas v'shalom, the opposite. And this is why the Torah tells us in Parshas Bereishis, man is created B'Tzelem Elohim. Now this is a theme which is taken up by many of the Sforim, of the great Tzadikim in the Sforim. We find, for example, in the Beis Halevi, in this week's Sedra. So the Beis Halevi tells us, we all know the question, the Torah tells us that when the time came for the flood, the Mabul, to take place, the world should be destroyed. So the Torah says, "Vatishoches oretz lifnehu elokim." The world was what had become lowly and in a state of destruction, so to speak. The world was in a state of destruction and loneliness because all creatures had perverted their way and destroyed their normal way on earth. And Rashi says, the famous Rashi, afilu behemo chayev oif nizkoking l'she'en ol minon. Even the animal kingdom, where there's an inbuilt tendency towards their own min, that the cows remain with cows, sheep remain with sheep, and so on and so forth, even the animals had overridden their teva, their nature, and had started to join up with other animals. In fact, there's another day in the Medrash, interestingly enough, fascinating, this is from a Medrash, that the animals themselves were mashkis their way. But interestingly enough, there's another day in the Medrash which says that man was markiv and marbia, he hybridized the different creatures one with another. Which is a thought really to consider, because nowadays in the higher echelons in the world of science, this is something that they're trying to do to fuse cells together from different creatures and to create goodness only knows what. I mean, the possibilities are utterly fearful. And interesting enough, Chazal say that this was something, a ritus which took place, presumably in a more primitive form, at the time of the Mabul. Very interesting. We seem to be coming full circle. But we'll stick with Rashi here. Rashi says the animals themselves spoiled their way. They became perverse. And of course, the Sforim, Farshim ask, how can it be the animals which are not Bali Bechira could change their way? Human beings have got Bechira. They are programmed to act in a certain way, but they have the ability to change that. Animals, the animal kingdom has no ability to change its inner, innate forces and tendencies and so on. So how did this happen? So the Beis Halevi tells us, very similar to the words of Reb Chaim Volozhiner. So the Beis Halevi, man is born with a teva, with a certain nature. But he can introduce to himself a second nature. Man is born good. Man is born kind, generous, constructive, and so on and so forth. Clean, decent. But man, through his deeds, can change his very nature. He can introduce a second nature, which becomes really first nature to him. And in fact, says the Beis Halevi, and we all know this is the Kayach of the Yetzer Hara, that one could reach a stage where one knows in one's seichel what is right, but one cannot act upon it. That can be when somebody's just piece of Lashon Hara is burning on the end of their tongue, for one person. For another person, it might be to eat something which they enjoy, which hasn't got quite the hechsher that they would hope for, maybe not mamish treif, but they know ideally they shouldn't have it. And for another person, it might be laziness, atzlos, not getting up in the morning, or whatever it would be. Everybody has their thing. And we all say, because we're all serious good people, we all say, I wish I didn't, and I wish I wouldn't, but it happens. So we can reach a stage where we introduce a tendency within ourselves to do things which our own seichel is misnagged to. Our own will is that we shouldn't do it, and nevertheless it has become almost like a reaction, a reflex to us, and we just cannot avoid doing it. Somebody decides certain involuntary actions that the body does, somebody decides they're not going to blink or their heart's not going to beat, they can't do that because the body does it as an involuntary action. Similarly, mankind can reach a stage through introducing bad deeds where things become involuntary and the seichel says don't do it, and nevertheless they can't stop themselves. This is the nature of man. So the Beis Halevi, in precisely the same way, man has got this koyach over the brio as well. When man perverts his own deeds, this doesn't stop just there. Those deeds spread, and he spoils the bria. When man is good, the deeds spread, and he lifts up the bria. He makes it a better and more constructive, holier place. And everything works as it should do. All the animals act as they should do. And the plants grow as they should do, and the seasons are as they should be. And you don't have tsunamis in the middle of here and there, and earthquakes, and who knows what. Everything is geschmack, everything is nice as it should be, when man's deeds are like that. When man's deeds are out of sync, then the bria follows, and we find all sorts of terrible things happening. The violence, the destruction, all the things that we see around us in terms of man's own behavior, in terms of the behavior of the Bria, all of this is set in motion by man's deeds. When man spoils himself, says the Beis Halevi, what really happens is, person is magbir, a taiva, he has a desire for something, and he gives that a power, by running after it, he gives it a power, he invests it with a certain power, and that taiva, which has now been empowered, will not stop at that man. It will move on and it will take over, so to speak, other people in other quarters of the creation as well. And says the Beis Halevi, we find the Gemara in Chagigo says as follows: Zocha Tzadik. If it's when a Tzadik is Zoicha, Noitel, he's lived a good life, Noitel, he takes Chelkoi v'chelek chaveiro v'gan Eden. He gets his chelek and his friend's chelek in Gan Eden. Somebody else's chelek as well. And the opposite, if he's not Zoicha, Nischayev Rosha, when the Rosha gets his punishment, he takes his punishment v'oinish chaveiro v'gehenim. So, says the Beis Halevi, how does this work? It says as follows. Because you'll find that Tzaddik, he does good deeds. He is magbir, he empowers good forces in the world. Those forces spread and they encourage others to do good deeds. So you have somebody who's essentially a Rosha, who's managed to do good deeds, he's got mitzvahs. But those mitzvahs, really the Rosha cannot take all the credit for those mitzvahs that he's done. Because he was empowered to do those mitzvahs by the greater force of goodness, which is created by the tzaddik in this world. So the Rosha, in the meantime, has got mitzvahs. Part of the schar, at least, belongs to the tzaddik. Now, says the Beis Halevi, the Rosha, as we know, gets his reward in Olam Hazeh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays him up in Olam Hazeh, and he gets all his oinesh in Olam Haba in Gehenna. Right? So he's paid up in this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to give him everlasting schar. So the tzaddik, who empowered this Rosha to do a mitzvah, the Rosha gets his schar in Olam Hazeh, but the chelik of the tzaddik for empowering the Rosha to do the mitzvah, that comes to the tzaddik in Gan Eden. So the tzaddik gets the chelik of the Rosha, of the schar of the Rosha in Gan Eden. And who are doing the opposite, the other way around. When the Rosha does bad things, this affects the power of the tzaddik. The tzaddik's power to do mitzvahs is diminished, and he is drawn towards sin. Now maybe he's partially culpable for that. He may get an einish for that, but the tzaddik gets an einish for averus in this world. Tzaddik v'raloi, one of the explanations, he gets his yisurin in this world. But there's a chelek, which the Rosha had to take in Gan Eden, what he caused the tzaddik to do the einish for the part that he caused in the tzaddik's downfall. The Rosha gets paid for his averus in Gehenna, and therefore the Rosha takes his chelek and the chelek of the tzaddik in Gehenna. And this is how we get schar, or chas v'shalom, the opposite, from different people for our deeds. So when the person is active, it is avodas Hashem, he's earning dividends who knows where, who knows how. Person's davens, we don't realize, a person davens in a serious way, he's very makbid in his manner of tefillah. We don't know, that he could be seen by hundreds or thousands of people over the course of a year, never mind a lifetime. And there's been a little improvement in their davening because of that. To Gevaldiga Star. And that's for what the people actually see and learn from him. There's also this unseen, invisible force that comes out from the good deeds that we do. So a person can go to the Olam HaEmet and get schar for all sorts of things. I never did this. I had nothing to do with that. And the Malachim say, yeah, it's yours. It's all yours. Take it. Take more and more. Bagfuls of schar. Things that he never imagined had any shaykhah to him at all. Your next door neighbor, somebody you saw once here, they influenced somebody. Somebody in Japan started to be a better yid because of something you did and created the force of Kedusha. I've never met the man. I've never been to Japan. It's your schar. Amazing thought. And who are then the opposite? What is it to a person to try and perfect our deeds where we can, because we know that the forces of evil that come from bad deeds, they also spread and ultimately will come back to us. So these are the words of the Beis Halevi, and interestingly enough, the Beis Halevi says this is what we mean by the terms din v'cheshbon. Yeah, we know that the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says v'al kochacha ata osed litein din v'cheshbon. We know the Gaon explains what's din and what's cheshbon. The Beis Halevi says his pshat: din is the judgment for the deeds that a person did. Din cheshbon is the judgment on the person for the influence that he wrought throughout the Bria, all the people and other corners of the Bria that were affected by his deeds. He has to be punished, or Huadin Faket, for the mitzvahs that he does, he has to be rewarded for the cheshbon, for all the ripple effects of the deeds that he did. Very interesting and beautiful pshat of the Beis Halevi in the Akok Aton, Osid Litein Din the Cheshbon. So these are the words of the Beis Halevi. On a similar theme, Rabbi Gedal Yeshor says, just a slightly different aspect to it, says Rabbi Gedal Yeshor, when Adam HaRishon was created, he had this koyach of affecting the whole of the created world, the whole Bria. He was a yochid. He was a single creature in the world. So his influence, the influence of divinity, spread to all corners of the creation, from end to end, so to speak. Says Reb Gedal Yeshor, however, when the population of the world grew, mankind grew in numbers, so then the hashpah over the Briah, the influence over the created world, was divided up by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to all the different people. And he says each person has a certain part of the created world which is their remit. That is what they affect. He says that's why when Noach came to the Teva, he took on animals of all types. Every member of the animal kingdom came on the Teva with him. A sample, a specimen of every animal in the animal kingdom. Where did those animals come from? All the animals had perverted their way, they'd all turned into Rishoyim. So what, they came onto the Teva, and then they ultimately came off the Teva and had children and so on. And these are the creatures that we have in the world today, from those animals which were mashed with Darkom. Says Rabbi Gedal Yeshor, no. Those were the animals that belonged to Noach's chelek in the Briah. Noach had a certain sphere of influence in the Briah, and the animals which were influenced by his good deeds and were not mashchis darkom, they were the animals that came with him on the table. So as we stand nowadays, everybody, according to Rabbi Gedal Yeshor, has got their chelek in the created world. Somehow, somewhere, we don't know where our sphere of influence lies, how far it extends, but each of us has a part of the Briah which is our responsibility to upgrade, to beautify, to perfect, to bring to its tachlis. The Chofetz Chaim says, I think this is in the, I saw it a long time ago, there's an English Chofetz Chaim on the Siddur, just shtiklach from the Chofetz Chaim throughout his Sforim, which are related to Tefillah, which are all brought together in one Siddur and in one Sefer. And the Chofetz Chaim writes, "Oz Yiranenu Atzei Hayor." In the future, the trees of the forests will exult in joy. What will they be joyous about? So the Chofetz Chaim says, because at present trees are cut down to be used for Avodah Zarah. Somebody makes this Avodah Zarah, somebody makes that Avodah Zarah, or the modern contemporary Avodah Zarah is perhaps not bowing down to idols, but trees and wood still used for Avodah Zarah of sorts. But in the future, the trees will be used for precisely the purpose that they were created. So they will have a sense of joy and pleasure. So this is the idea that every aspect of the Briah has its tachlis in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it is up to mankind to make sure that each corner of the Briah actually reaches its tachlis. Now, turning back to the Medrash, I just want to explain, perhaps, according to what we've said, this principle that man has such a koyach over the Briah, man is created B'Tselem Elokim, and particularly, as Reb Chaim Volozhin tells us, it's particularly, Klal Yisrael have an incredible koyach. This is our koyach of Tselem Elokim. Reb Chaim Volozhin actually mentions that it's well known, I think, that when Nebuchadnezzar came in, destroyed the Beis HaMikdosh, when Titus HaRosha came into the Beis HaMikdosh and took in a Zayna into the Beis Kodesh HaKodoshim, says the Chaim Volozhin, that we tend to think, what could be worse? He says, the Emes says, Titus HaRosha had very little connection with the upper world, very little spread and ripple effect of his deeds. He was a piece of this world, of Gashmius, who fitted into this world, and his influence didn't spread much further than that. But when a person, a Yid, has a thought of something like a Neof, he mentions, for example, because of Titus HaRosha took his own away, a Yid has a thought of Neof, Chas V'Sholem, that is even worse and far more destructive than all that Titus HaRosha did in the Nebuchadnezzar, all of these great Roshoim did in the Beis HaMikdosh. That's even worse, because that is the Koyach of a Yid, even in Machshava. And Reb Chaim Volozhin writes that in our deeds, in our actions, in our Machshavas, in our speech, everything that we do, we have an enormous Koyach over this world. He writes here, just, I'll find it now, I marked the page, but when it comes to it, we don't find it so easily. This is what's important for man to know. Every year, every single one is included in this. Should never say to themselves, what are my deeds? To achieve with my lowly deeds. What am I? My deeds are useless. Omnom yovin v'yedav yikbav machshavos libay. A person needs to know and he needs to drive it into his heart. Shekol protei masov, all the actions, all the aspects, every element of his deeds, the dibur of his speech, umachshavos of and his thoughts, kol eis v'rega. Lois avidu chasushon, they don't get lost, they don't go to waste. Every good thought that a person has, every deed that he does, every good word that he speaks, none of it is lost. It all has an incredible kayach. It may seem like a simple, small deed. A simple thought. It's constructive, it's good, it has a gewaldige kayach on the bria. And nobody should downplay their power and their ability to bring the world to its perfection. So perhaps we could say this is an extra dimension in the Medrash here. The Medrash says, in Zocha, for Vartmus Zaycha, then he's kaidim even to the Malach HaShoris. His influence extends not just over this world, even in the Malach HaShoris, Reb Chaim Voloshiner says the influence extends to all worlds. He's kaidim even the Malach HaShoris. It's not just a shvach to the person, look what you've done, look how choshev you are, you can be considered that you are neshama, and therefore we're created even before the Malach HaShoris. He's kaidim the Malach HaShoris. His power preempts even the Malach HaShoris. It extends to all corners of the universe. And in Lo Zocha, if a person's not Zocha, then we say, even the smallest creatures, they have a power over you, so to speak. They will be mashkis their derech. You could have influenced them. And even the creatures which are so primitive by comparison to mankind, one or two-celled creatures, without brains, without much of a nervous system, and so on, all the complexities of man, even those you didn't manage to influence in the years that were allotted to you. And this is perhaps a chizuk to us, that we should be zoichem yetz Hashem, all of us, to take the koichos which HaKadosh Baruch has given us over the bria, and to bring the world to its ultimate perfection.
Thank you very much.